Over the course of the next 15 minutes, I recover enough to sit up against the wall, and Mo just about manages to stop shivering. She leans against me.
"Thank you," she says quietly. "That went way beyond."
Hutter and Chaitan bang in through the door, heaving a couple of bulky kit bags full of assorted gear. Vacuum support underwear, heated outer suit, a new regulator and air tank for my framework, a new backpack and helmet for Mo.
"Look at the lovebirds,"
Chaitan says, apparently amused by us.
"On your feet, pretties. Gotta get you ready to move and ain't nobody going to carry you."
While Hutter is getting Mo into her pressure gear, I stumble around the wreckage of the Procrustean bed and hunt for my palm top, dropped when I had to leap for her life. I find it lying on the concrete floor, evidently kicked into a corner of the room, but it's undamaged, which is a big relief. I pick it up and check the thalm level absently, and freeze. Something is really not right around here. Following the display, I trail around the walls until I find an inexplicably high reading in front of that rack of high-tension switchgear. Something is happening here. Local entropy is sky-high, as if information is being destroyed by irreversible computation in the vicinity. But the rack is switched off. I pocket the small computer and give the rack an experimental yank. I'm nearly knocked off my feet when it slides toward me.
"Hey!"
Chaitan is right behind me, shoving me out of the way and pointing his gun into the dark cavity behind the rack.
"Don't,"
I say tersely. "Look." I switch on my suit headlamp and promptly wish I hadn't.
"Oh, Jesus."
Chaitan lowers his gun but doesn't look away. The room behind the instrument rack is another cell. It must have been undisturbed for a long time, but it's so cold that most of the body parts are still recognizable. There's a butcher's shop miasma hanging over it. Not decay, exactly, but the smell of death. Enough spare parts for Dr. Frankenstein to make a dozen monsters lie heaped in the room, piled in brown ice drifts in the corners.
"Shut the fucking door,"
he says distantly and steps out of my way.
"Anyone got a hacksaw?"
I ask.
"You can't be serious."
Chaitan pushes up his visor and stares at me.
"Why?"
"I want to take samples from the top few bodies," I say slowly. "I think they may be something to do with the Mukhabarat Santa Cruz operation."
"You're nuts,"
he says. "Maybe, but don't you want to know who these people were?"
"No fucking way, mate," he says.
Then he breathes deeply.
"Look, I was in Bosnia, you know, the mass graves."
He glances down and scuffs the floor.
"Spent a couple of weeks guarding the forensics guys one summer. The worst thing about those pits, you scrubbed like crazy, but in the end, you had to throw your boots away. Once that smell gets into the leather, it won't leave."
He looks away.
"You're fucking out of your skull if you think I'm gonna help you take trophies.
So just get me an axe," I snap irritably. Then I wince again and wish I hadn't. He looks at me oddly for a moment, as if trying to make his mind up whether or not to get physical, then turns and stomps off. When Chaitan returns, he's carrying a fireman's axe and an empty kit bag. He leaves me alone for 10 minutes, while I discover just how difficult it is to chop through the wrist bones of a corpse that's been frozen for days or months. I find that I'm angry, very angry indeed. So angry, in fact, that the job doesn't upset me. I want to find the bastard who did this and give him a taste of his own medicine. And if chopping off dead hands is the price, then it's a price I'm happy to pay, with interest. But why do I still feel as if I'm missing something obvious? Like maybe what the demon, Dybbuk, possessor, whatever you call it, lured us here for?